Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
More Adam Ferreira and a double dose of the news coming your way. But first, Relief Ban. Relief Ban. Well, nausea, especially if you're hungover. A lot of people overdoing it because of the whole COVID business, but a lot of people are going to be overdoing it around the holidays. Relief Ban. You know that feeling when you wake up in the morning after overdoing it the night before with the booze? I'm excited about this. Relief Ban. It's the number one FDA cleared anti-nausea wristband. It's clinically proven to relieve nausea. It works. I use it. It works. And motion sickness and morning sickness and chemo sickness and anxiety, hangover, migraines, and more. It's 100% drug-free. And it's non-drowsy. It's fast acting. It's all natural relief with zero side effects. So Relief Band stimulates the nerve in your wrist, goes right to the part of your brain that controls nausea and blocks the signal to your stomach telling you you're sick. So I use it. You guys should use it too. And it makes a great gift. It's Relief Band, right, Dawson?
This holiday season, help someone reclaim their life from the fear of nausea. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for Adam Carolla listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code Adam, you'll receive 20% off. So head to reliefband.com and use promo code Adam for 20% off.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, let's start with some new restriction fun. Now, California, everybody, let me back up. We have a color coding system that makes no sense. Red is not even the worst. It's purple. And all counties have now fallen back into the purple tier. So we'll keep you posted on that. But Philadelphia is what's getting all the attention now, because officials over there have announced sweeping restrictions on businesses. And, you know, along with the gyms, museums, casinos, libraries, bowling alleys, arcades, theaters, we all know that. Philadelphia restaurants no longer serving anything indoor. Outdoor, you're limited to groups of four. And they, I don't know how you prove this, but they must be from the same household. I don't know if you have to bring a utility bill before you order appetizers.
Well,
no idea.
If they're arguing, then they're all from the same household. If they're enjoying their night, well, then they couldn't possibly be from the same place.
I was thinking about that because I thought, because everything in my my life goes back to brunch. And how could I pull this off with my girlfriends? No hugging, no squealing when you see each other. You all have to look like your roommates meeting back up for a meal.
Is no squealing an actual metric?
Are you kidding?
That'd be great.
Has your wife ever gone to brunch with
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. No weddings, no funerals, no household visits. This is starting to get a little Nazi Germany. I don't know if they start knocking on doors to find this out. Mm. No kind of indoor gathering, public or private, are permitted under the restrictions. No in-person learning or high school or colleges. Outdoor gatherings are limited to 10% capacity or 10 people per 1,000 square feet. And that also means, because there's a cap on large spaces, no more than 2,000 people, which means no fans at the Eagles games. And this goes into effect Friday. It will be in effect until at least January 1st. And they are getting, I mean, they're giving us all a run for our money in the restriction department.
Philly.
Well, yeah, Philly. Mm-hmm. People had enough reasons not to live in Philly before this. I think this is going to put them over the top. My dad's from South Philly. And they don't churn out a lot of greats, South Philly.
Rocky.
Oh, yeah. Fucking I mean, real great. Boys to Men.
It's true.
Motown Philly.
Yeah, well,
They threw ice balls at Santa Claus at a Philly game in the 70s.
That's right.
So yeah. Those Eagles fans are missing out on the first place team.
Yeah.
What about the Fresh Prince?
I know.
Listen, Philly's one of those places that goes from, like, historical to shithole in three blocks, if you ever walk around Philly. The Liberty Bell was founded in 70. I cut you, bitch! Okay, gone too far.
And wasn't Philadelphia the place where they sent that cute little robot to see how far he could make it across the country, and it never made it out of, like, one neighborhood of Philly, and they tagged it and fucked it up and, like, beat it up? It was this cute little robot roaming along in his little way.
And remember, Gina, the Fresh Prince was sent out of Philadelphia to avoid his horrible life.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's never where you're from. Like, I always used to say that about Cindy Crawford when I was in northern Illinois at the University of DeKalb doing a show with Dr. Drew. Mm-hmm. About the 25th time I heard, you know, Cindy Crawford's from DeKalb, I just yelled, where is she now? She left when she was 14. Where she's now, she's blowing a guy in Malibu right now. That's where she is right now. She's no longer in DeKalb.
If it was so great, Kaya Gerber would be in DeKalb.
Right. The metric to measure success for a city shouldn't be where was this person born. It should be where did they move to when they got smart enough to get the fuck out of where they were born.
Yeah, well, and isn't their mascot named Gritty?
The Flyers, yeah, the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's probably a bad sign.
Are you guys familiar with Gritty?
I mean, I am now.
Guys, we could do a half hour on Gritty.
Oh, I know about
Gritty. Looks like Oscar the Grouch.
I only know about the Fanatic. I don't know about Gritty.
Oh, show a picture of Gritty.
Gritty's the best.
What did he's the Flyers mascot?
I'm 99% sure.
Mm. Yeah,
he's in Philadelphia. By process of elimination, he must be the Flyers mascot.
He looks like the Muppet they passed on.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
He's got quite a social media presence.
He looks like Bruce Valanche.
Gritty, we need you to punch up this script.
Yeah. I'll take Gritty to block, please.
I thankfully have not seen Bruce Valanche in like, I feel like I saw Bruce Valanche a lot 10 years ago, and I don't feel like I've seen him in a while, and that's a good thing.
I think he looks just like that.
Yeah, he does look like Gritty.
I miss Jim J. Bullock.
Was he a Philadelphia man?
No, but you're talking about winsome, some gays that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. Jim J. can't be alive, can he?
Sure. Oh,
yeah, he's 65.
Oh, he is.
Remember Jim J. and Tammy Faye? A power duo.
Oh, that's right. What'd they do? Have a daytime?
Yeah. Daytime talk show.
It was a weird era where they would just take people and throw them together and go, we're going to do a daytime talk show. And then it was always, the proclamations were always the same. It's like, anything goes. Oh, boy, we're going to dish. Yeah. You're no teleprompter here. Hey, by the way, if you're easily offended,
look elsewhere for you.
Yeah, because we ain't going to lie to you. You know, there was always that, and then the show just sucked, right?
Yeah. It's boring. Speaking of data, wow, guys.
Wow. See,
tell me I'm wrong.
No, that I is can't. Bruce Valanche is Gritty. Yeah, 100%.
Speaking of daytime talk shows, some Ellen news. Despite her scandalous year in the tabloids, she won the trophy for the best daytime talk show of 2020 at the E! People's Choice Awards on Sunday. And you'll never guess who she spent a chunk of her time thanking because of everything that went on. This is, I don't know, her speech is maybe 2.5 minutes. This is almost half of her speech.
In my heart, I thank you. I am not only accepting this award for myself, I'm accepting it on behalf of my amazing crew, my amazing staff who make this show possible. They show up every single day. They give 100% of themselves 100% of the time. That's 250 people times 170 shows a year, times 18 years, and if you carry the two and divide it by 11. My point is, I love them all, and I thank them for what they do every single day to help that show be the best that we try to make it every single day.
This is basically the husband after he gets busted cheating and the wife lets him back into the house, but he's only been there for 6 days and he's got to give a toast at a wedding. And of course, all of a sudden, you know, Doreen, the love of my life,
my rock.
I'm like, of course you have to, you got busted.
That's right.
Of course. Yeah, that's why.
Don't sue me.
Say it again. Sorry, Adam.
The subtext of that speech was, please don't sue me.
Right, right. You can't slather it on too thick. You know what I mean? She who was unkind to her staff for 18 years can't all of a sudden wake up and explain how it's impossible. By the way, when you're talking about your staff, noting that they show up every day, I don't know.
Damn him with faint praise.
I feel like you could say that about everyone who works at a Costco. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everyone shows up. I mean, that's not exactly praise.
My punctual staff.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got, Gina? By the way, where was that? Yes. When was that? Was that a...
That was over the weekend. That was Sunday.
Was it televised?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was, it looked like an internet thing. I checked on the E! Network schedule. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And it was done in an airplane hangar.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. You can't really tell, you know, you could tell from the cheers and ravenous applause that people were spaced out. And if that was just crew, I don't know. But it was done in just some giant space. And I can't figure out where it was aired. So that's why I thought it was online.
I think I did the first Teen Choice Awards, and I think that was in an airplane hangar at the Santa Monica Airport. I think the MTV Music Awards were at there too. The reason I remember very clearly, because working for MTV was sort of like working for K-Rock Radio, in that K-Rock Radio was huge and MTV was huge, but they did not treat their talent like talent. You know, they kind of kept the man down. And I think the MTV Music Awards, me and Dr. Drew were very popular on MTV at the time. And we said, could we get a couple tickets to the MTV Awards? And they were like, nah. And then they finally got us some tickets, and they put us so far up in the bleachers in the back of this airplane hangar that when we sat down, the people in front of us turned and looked, like, oh, it's Adam and Dr. Drew. Like, and they were like, yeah. And like, what are you guys going to do? Are you hooked up to a zip line or something? You're going to go down on a harness? I was like, no, these are the seats they gave us. And then I said to the guys in front of me, I think Drew did, he was like, where'd you guys get your tickets? Because they told us we're out of them. It's like, we got them today at Music Plus. I was like, oh, awesome. It's weird, right?
Very.
But that's how they do it.
Mm-hmm. That's why now I've been burned too many times where if somebody offers me free tickets to a concert or a comedy show, it sounds like a diva bitch move. Oh. But I got to say, thank you so much. Where are those tickets exactly? Because on two occasions, at least, I have gone to the window, given my name, said, oh, I'm on so-and-so's list. They've given me tickets that were so bad, I didn't accept them, and I just bought tickets at the window for better seats.
I don't know if you guys have reached this place in your lives or reached at one point this place, but I did, Gina, I'm the exact same way. I don't know if it's age thing. I don't know if it's an LA thing, but if someone invites me to a movie premiere, fuck you. I'm not going to your fucking movie. I'm not, now, Adam, if it's like yours, like at the Montalban Theater, that's one thing. But someone's like, hey, this is at the Man Bruin in Westwood. I got tickets. You want? Fuck no, never. Last time I made that mistake was like 5 years ago. Sat in the front fucking row looking like this at not only at Hail Caesar, a terrible movie,
a long movie.
I left 5 minutes in.
Adam, you should know where someone invited Brian to a christening last week and he had the exact same reaction.
Is it the front pew? I'm not sitting in the front pew.
Wow. All right. Well, there goes my next conversation. I'm, of course, your name off the list.
Canceled.
I got invited. I went to a premiere. The best premiere I ever went to, red carpet, I had to go to for work, was a day one, because it was at the movie theater right over here in Santa Monica. And it was a day I had, you know how it is. You got to go. You got to get your picture taken. You do your interviews. And then you got to go sit through the movie and go through the bullshit. So I told the guy driving the car, I said, he had an Escalade. I go park in that Carl's Jr. I went down the red carpet, took a picture with my wife, did my interview, did not be yet, walked right into the theater, out the emergency door, into the Carl's Jr. I was home watching football as the movie started.
Oh, what movie was it?
It was the John Voight movie. It was the movie John Voight was in. It was the, I'm going to say Gone. It's not Gone in 60 Seconds. It was a car movie.
Oh, you better pray it wasn't Gone in 60 Seconds. That's the greatest film of all time.
That one I would have went and gone.
That's a film. You know, it's not that movie because he's calling it a movie. If he's talking about Gone in 60 Seconds, he'd be calling it a film. It's a big difference. Big difference.
He's looking it up. Well, he does that. Yeah, go ahead.
That was Duvall who was in 60 Seconds.
Voight. Oh, yeah. Where the hell
Voight was in Heat, but I don't consider it a car movie.
What name better? Face Off, Nick Cage name, Castor Troy.
Castor Troy.
Or Gone in 60 Seconds, Memphis Rains.
Memphis.
Isn't our meteorologist here in L.A.?
That's Dallas, yeah. But yeah.
Memphis Rains is pretty solid.
Getaway, 2013.
Hey, 2013, Getaway. That was
yeah,
it.
There it is. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was a smooth move on your part. And a lot of people, a lot of us sitting around gaining that COVID-15. I'll tell you who's not doing that. 71-year-old Rudy Cadlub. He's out there breaking world records. He weighs in at 222 pounds. And yes, I'm going to show you what he does. Rudy squatted 430 pounds, benched 303 pounds, and pulled 518 pounds in the deadlift, all without steroids. He's 71. He now holds the records at 198, 220, and 242-pound weight classes. Do you want to see a 71-year-old pull any of those off? Because we have the video.
I don't want to. Sure. Besmirched a man, but he was caught juicing because they found a half-empty Ensure can on his nightstand. So, oh, there's Brian. Brian just showed us his.
Brian sold it to him.
I'm getting ready for the 71-year-old record.
Yeah,
well,
let's see.
Do you want to see him squat 430 pounds?
Is the record of a man over 65? Like, it must be. It's not a world record for the amount.
It just shows the weight classes. It doesn't say anything about the age.
Oh. It's got to be age.
When you're over 200 pounds, that's not, you know, I mean, it's a ton of weight or half a quarter ton of weight. But either way, it's got to be in a weight. There has to be some age factored in this. Because
there's guys at the combine every year in the National Combine to do this.
Right.
Oh, give this guy some credit. You guys are jerks. All right, show this aged fellow what he can do. Here we go. I don't know what's on his neck. Brace.
Fucking gimp.
Wow. Is that Zeppelin?
Yeah. He looks like Master Blaster.
Is that going to California?
Babe, I'm going to leave you.
That's Babe, I'm going to leave you.
Oh, God.
You know, the guy was like, I want some something new, something peppy.
Some hyped up music.
Something the kids are listening to. Yeah.
I like the bottle of rum he's got right by the weights.
Now this is a deadlift at 518 pounds.
Oh.
Wow, that's good. That's a lot of weight.
No immigrant song?
Wow. All right, this guy's number one grandpa.
Meanwhile, I have my 5 and 10 pound weights that I take into the newsroom because it's actually smaller than the room I'm in right now. And Vinny gave me some Tweety Bird's cage exercises because I can't just sit there with my ass hermetically sealed to a chair for 6 hours. So I do my weights, but it's not a deadlift.
What are some Tweety Bird cage type exercises?
Well, the ones that aren't weights are like, you know, standing behind the chair, going up on your tiptoes, and then slowly, as slow as you possibly can, lowering, you know, and it's all about controlling that. So who knows? Slower is better when it comes to weights. You know, you think you're getting a better workout because you're doing it three times as fast. No, Vinny had to teach me that kind of thing. And then I do my weights in my seat. So he didn't teach me this one, but there's like the milk jug where you, like you're pouring out of a milk jug. I do the ones behind me because I got the Jewish bingo wings. And I do everything I can with my 10-pound weights because I'm sitting in a chair the whole time.
I'm getting old. And one of the reasons I know I'm getting old, and I don't know if you guys have gotten to this phase of your life where you start counting things as exercise that aren't exercise. Like, I'm like, I should work out. And I go, what do you mean? I got stuff out of the car earlier today.
Yeah.
Like, that was
my steps. I go, I did the steps.
That was two trips and the downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Having a 4-year-old is the ultimate cheat code to working out. Right? You're like, I chased her around the block on her scooter.
I did Super Kid in the air for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a sad old guy realization the other day that Brian will probably remember.
Let's hear it.
Remember one of my favorite characters from the Kevin and Bean show, and you can look this up. Richard Cheese would do this, Dick Cheese. But he didn't do it on his name. But he would do the same guy, would do Paul, the 55-year-old intern. Do you remember that character?
That was before my time, but I remember that. Yeah.
It was a funny bit. It was just this guy, this sort of square middle-aged guy, is Paul, the 55-year-old intern. And it was funny when I used to listen to it in 1993, but I realize I'm 56 now. So I'm actually older than the old guy I used to laugh at as the intern. I don't know if any of that stuff's online, or maybe it was a Christmas Elms. I don't know.
That with my friend is 50. He's dating this 20-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out. I go, it's not.
Right.
I said, it's not. He goes, well, how could you say? I said, because you're at that age where you start talking about the past, and this girl doesn't have one yet.
Right.
So what are you going to talk to her about? He's like, yeah, maybe you're right.
Where does he meet a 20-year-old? Do you do it online?
God knows where he'd be. I think he met this one at the gym. When it was open, so you
doing
know.
Those 5-pound weights,
doing
those
setting 5-pound a record weight. With a squat, yeah.
Like, hey, those are those Tweety Bird exercise.
You know what website I've become obsessed with, just knowing that it exists? Are you guys familiar with Seeking Arrangement?
No.
Let me see if you guys are good liars. Are you familiar with Seeking Arrangement?
Fred, not
okay. No, I figured you were lying about it. It's basically a sugar daddy website, and like what? Because I saw this special on HBO, and they featured it. And one guy, can you imagine, ladies, if you're lucky enough to find this guy, he likes to be financially humiliated.
Mm.
So all that means is you just call him and talk dirty, like I'm going to empty your bank account, and then he buys you a car.
Only women can sign up for this.
Yeah,
because if things go south with Christy, I'm going to be a soft landing.
Yeah.
Isn't that the greatest fetish you could ever come up with? I mean, if you're on the, depending on what end you're on.
All right, Gina, I'm going to play the fella.
Okay.
You play my sugar mama.
I'm the sugar baby.
Now, I've decided you're the mama.
Oh. It's a reverse website.
At this point.
Oh, okay.
And you want to be financially humiliated. Let's see. I am going to take your I'm going to take your SUV and I'm going to fill it up and I'm going to go with 91 octane, even though the manufacturer suggests 87. You know what I like to do sometimes?
Tell me.
I like to walk into your office, turn on the ceiling fan, and then go into another room and take a nap.
Oh, God. Don't stop. Tell me more.
I know you like your cream in a real bottle, a real glass bottle.
No, do I?
And you get a redemption value on that after you rinse it real good?
Yeah.
I take mine and I throw them at the fireplace when I'm done with the cream.
Oh, you talk so dirty.
Yeah. The other thing I like to do is I like to turn the heat on during the winter.
Oh, turn the heat on.
And I'll just go ahead and crack the flue in the fireplace without lighting a fire. So
tell me what you're going to do to my 401k.
Oh, what 401k?
Oh.
Yeah.
Trial is now over. Please insert your credit card to continue this conversation.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get the date on there. Okay. I can't tell the difference between a $2,000 bottle of wine and a bottle of $2 Chuck, but guess who's getting the expensive stuff when we go out to the French Laundry?
Who's getting it?
You, baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Are you ordering? Are you sending them around to other tables of people we've met?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll be toasting other tables. I also like to order foie gras and not finish it.
Oh, do you take it home in a doggy bag?
No, I'm not taking it. No, wait a minute. I lied. I do take it home, but I forget about it and leave it in the car. Spoils overnight.
Oh, tell me how many mortgages I have.
Oh, man, you got 3, baby. Yeah. And by the way, I was thinking about refinancing, but the rate is lower than it is now, so I scrapped that mission. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Can we do this again tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
I'm right now. I signed you up for the MLB package, and I know you don't even like baseball, but it just rolls over every year. You got to keep paying it.
You are such a dirty boy.
That's right. I'm pretty catch-as-catch-can about closing the refrigerator, too. I'll just sort of slop it. I'll just sort of make a move on it, and then I'll leave. Sometimes it shuts and seals. Oftentimes it doesn't.
Oh, where you can still see the light coming out of the crack.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. I'm not in the room.
You would know.
The room does seem same. I also like to fire up a space heater. My tootsies get cold.
Because
you know
it's the dead of winter, right?
Yeah. But when it gets too hot, instead of turn off the space heater, I turn on the central air.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah, that improv brought to you by the Corolla family. All I have to do is think about all the shit my wife and kids do all day. And I go,
hey, that came so easy to you.
I know.
There was almost no end.
Yeah.
That entire scene was played out with every light in the house on.
And a special thank you, a special assist from Brian, who texted me a couple of hilarious things.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with the rest of the news. Oh, we have Paul on 45. We have a medley of songs from, is that Paul singing it?
Yeah, so this is actually, I think, how he may have been introduced as a character. I don't know, but he recorded a single called Paul on 45 for Kevin and Bean, which is a medley of all the K-Rock songs arranged as like swing and big band.
That may be a little more Dick Cheese, but we'll listen to it anyway. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with the rest of the news right after this.
Real men are an endangered species, shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenManUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man.
All right, so second part of the news, and Max Pata was able to find the K-Rock song. So this is Paul from 1993. So I used to listen to Kevin and Bean. This is right before I got in with Kevin and Bean and Jimmy. So we'll play this clip. You got the song? It's a medley of K-Rock songs? Yeah.
What I've got to give it to you, Mama. What I've got to give it to you, Papa. What I've got to give it to your daughter. Well,
Red
you
hot
do
chili
a
butter.
Little yep. dance, and then you drink a little water. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Smell like I sound, lost and I'm found. And I'm hungry like that wolf. Your own personal Jesus. Oh, yeah. Someone to give his all.
That bass.
Someone named Paul. That's right, baby. I'm in a Depeche mood.
Depeche mood.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. No, those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Let me go on like a blister.
All right, you get it. That's Mark Davis. That's the guy. Oh, speaking of the Chicagoan, that is the guy where Jimmy and I were sitting outside at Carney's Hot Dogs. I love their hot dogs, by the way, but we're sitting out there on Ventura Boulevard, and a car drove down Ventura Boulevard and cut off another car, and the car behind it did one of those honks where they never let up, just all the thing. And I whipped my head around, and I said, that's Mark Davis. And Jimmy went, are you sure? And I said, yeah, that was him. I recognize this kid had a Honda De La Soul, a green one. Like, it was a very weird car for a guy to drive. And he went, okay, I got it. And then Jimmy called him that night as the crazy, angry man who was in the car behind him. And he's like, hey, motherfucker, I got your all your information. What happened to me, what you did to me on Ventura Boulevard at noon today is bullshit. Now I'm coming after you. And of course, Mark Davis had no other recourse but to believe that that guy had his number. What else could you possibly think? Yeah. that Jimmy and Adam were at Carney's?
Yeah.
And saw it, and he fucking tortured Mark Davis for weeks about having his number, coming to his house. You better get a deadbolt. I'm coming after you. It was the craziest ruse ever, and it totally bulletproof, because how could you ever think, okay, come on. No one else knows that you cut someone off on Ventura Boulevard except for you and the car behind you.
There's no suspect. There's no motive.
That's it.
And for what you're being told.
Yeah.
Footnote, we've played some Dick Cheese songs on the show before years ago. The later stuff that he released on albums was really good.
Yeah. He's funny. Yeah. His roommate was Lightning at the time, and Lightning, after about 2 weeks of torturing Mark Davis, Lightning's like, I have to tell him. And Jimmy's like, I'll kill you if you tell him. And he's like, I have to live with this guy. He's going insane. He's screaming at me because I didn't lock the downstairs door from the garage. You know, like, he's going insane. I can't live with him anymore. Jimmy just called him every day. It's the crazy motorist who wanted to kill him.
Yeah. So did he ever tell him?
He eventually told him because he couldn't take it. He was having a nervous breakdown. But again, file that under things no woman has ever done to another woman.
Never.
No.
Right?
The worst we'll do is we'll tell the girl who always shows up late to brunch that brunch is 30 minutes earlier, so she shows up on time. And we're like, oh, that was so tricky. That's literally it.
That's it.
Or maybe a surprise party.
I was in a writing with my friend Phil, who's on my podcast. We actually told the story last week or the week before on the podcast. A bunch of people sitting there waiting for their prescriptions, and he's talking to me. I wander into the adult care aisle so they can see us. Mm-hmm. I grabbed the biggest stack of adult diapers, and I just turned to him and I said, what size are you again? Everyone just started looking at him, and he ran because he didn't know what to do. He was embarrassed, and I was chasing him around. I'm like, come on, don't be like that. You said you'd try. We just got new rugs. I'm the one that's got to clean it up. You know, I just kept chasing him around and said he ran from me, and he was hiding in the greeting card.
Yeah, lean in.
That's great.
That. Yeah.
Oh, so I knew there was only one way out. So I went by the door, and everyone's looking at me. I'm still holding the diapers. So I just burst into tears. I just started crying. And he's got it. And I said, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I changed his diet. I don't know what it is. We're under so much stress. And he just comes running out. Maybe. And as he runs by me, I just yelled out, think of the kids. And we just laughed.
Maybe it's the seat heater that did it. All right. What else you got, Gina Grant?
Well, Miami Marlins just hired Kim Ang as their new general manager, making her the baseball's first female and first Asian-American Major League Baseball GM. She's 51. She spent decades in baseball, previously working as assistant GM in the Yankees and Dodgers.
Asian GM.
Yeah. She's very excited about this. Of course, you know, the Dodgers have had a lot to say about it because she worked out here as well. And big deal. Do you guys consider this a big deal?
Yeah.
Hey, Asians are kicking everyone's ass, so it's always a little, you know, anticlimactic when they're already doing better than whitey. So, you know, but it's cool. I don't know. I'm kind of over all the first. I mean, we have a female vice president. We had, you know, black male president for 2 terms. We're so there now. Nothing's really surprised me. You know. When I was coming up, and not even when I was coming up, I mean, black coaches in the NFL were pretty unheard of. Black quarterbacks were pretty unheard of.
Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
Warren Moon.
I spoke to my son about Warren Moon the other day, where he was going through top 10, you know, all time passing yards, you know, NFL quarterbacks or whatever. And he said, Warren Moon was like, I don't know, 9th or 10th or something like that. And he said, I would have thought Warren Moon would be higher. And I said, well, Warren Moon played in the CFL for 6 years.
It's prime years.
Right. And it's like, well, why did he play in the Canadian Football League for 6 years. And then I yelled, look over there. And then I turned up the radio real loud and we changed the subject. Yeah. No, I said that because they didn't think a black quarterback could play in the NFL. I mean, it had happened a couple of times. Bristow, I think, was one for Denver. And of course, Doug Williams and James Harris for the Rams. But there had been a couple examples. But in general, if you're black and you're a great athlete, they'd go, well, we'll put you a tight end or we'll put you a cornerback, you know. And he wanted to play quarterback. So he went to Canada.
What was the thinking behind that? I mean, what?
Galifianakis.
Well, and understandably, it's going to make no sense now, no matter what. But what is the thinking? I mean, because isn't sports all about whoever's best? Go do that thing that you're best at.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. If something is a certain way, it takes a while to undo what is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like parsley by the side of the plate. Like they did it for 30 years and then there were 10 years of people going, what do we need parsley for? And then they got rid of it. Like they don't just go, hep, here right. we go. We're changing. They're like the quarterback position is a white guy's position and these are the black guy positions. And they kind of did it that way. And of course the change happened, but it happened slowly. Now, you look at the NFL, I mean, there's tons of black quarterbacks. There's tons of black coaches. You know, we're kind of there. I'm no longer sort of excited when I hear about this person is playing that, doing that.
Which is
thing.
A good sign. It's a good sign that you're not excited.
That's right. Sudden change is called trauma. You know, people need to work into stuff.
Well, speaking of lack of sudden change, combine that, everything Adam said, with a lot of coaches weren't forward-thinking enough to take advantage of the black quarterback's special skill set a lot of the times. Like, Lamar Jackson would fail in 1970. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have that kind of offense.
Well, they never accepted the run-pass option. It was always a college thing.
You know, quarterbacks did one thing. They dropped back, with the rare exception, they dropped back in the pass.
Yeah. Although Lamar's not having a fantastic season this year,
Deshaun Watson or whoever, you know what I mean? Like whoever, the guy that can combine all the elements of
Kyler, what's his
Kyler
name?
Murray.
That guy's, Kyler Murray. That guy's crushing
Hail Murray.
It.
Did you see the Hail Murray yesterday?
Yeah. That was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. I was also explaining to Sonny when he was talking about the Ravens quarterback, he's like, he's kind of onto him. Like he's not really having a great year. I said, this is the beauty of the NFL. A guy has a breakout year, and for some reason, it'll last the entire year. For some reason, they'll get to game 14, and they still won't figure it out or scheme against it. But the next year, everyone's on the same page. And all of a sudden, the same shit the person was doing the year before just somehow isn't working because they've schemed against it. They figured it out. I said, you see the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. There's some defensive outside linebacker who's just getting to the quarterback and crushing everybody and whatever. Then the next season, he has kind of a quiet season. Mm-hmm. And like, it takes a year, and it's the ultimate kind of strategy game. It takes a year, but they do it. You can't do that to LeBron James. You can't just go, or it's going to shut him down. But football, even what Lamar Jackson's a physical phenomenon too, but there's 11 guys. And they've schemed, and they got it figured out now. And he's just not able to get away with what he got away with.
They got the game tape, too. He's doing something. Oh, that's what he's doing. Let's do this. We'll put this guy in motion, and there you go. That shuts that down.
Right. Put this guy in motion.
Put this guy in motion. Who's you? Run that way. Why? It does something. It stops him. That's what we need to do.
Sorry, Gina. But, yes, we've come a long way, baby. And now we're pretty much there. I'd say we're pretty much there.
Do you guys remember the movie and its many remakes of Freaky Friday?
Mm-hmm. There's a new one out.
I'm getting there. So the first one, of course, with Jodie Foster and Barbara Harris, which I've seen, I don't know, 1,000 times from when I was a kid to now. We got the kid on that one. There was Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. There was a Disney version. You know, you switch places with the mom and then, you know, hilarity ensues. Well, there's a new version. The elevator pitch, I'm guessing, was Freaky Friday, but for serial killers. Mm. So this version starring Vince Vaughn, which I imagine was what you were going to say, Brian.
Yeah, it's getting good reviews. I really want to see it. And I also want to see the director's other movie, which got decent reviews, Happy Death Day. Like, I've heard good things. I've heard good things.
I love Happy Death Day. It is fantastic. So, yeah, okay, so I could absolutely see this being pulled off now. Well, this makes more sense. It got number one at the box office and opened at $3.7 million. It's a horror comedy. It played at almost 2,500 screens. And it's Vince Vaughn is a serial killer who switches bodies with a teenage girl. I have the synopsis because it's too good not to tell you. 17-year-old Millie Kessler spends her days trying to survive high school and the cruel actions of the popular crowd. But when she becomes the latest target of the Butcher, the town's infamous serial killer, her senior year becomes the least of her worries when the Butcher's mystical dagger causes him and Millie to magically switch bodies. The frightened teen learns she has just 24 hours to get her identity back before she looks like a middle-aged maniac forever.
Wow.
Oh, this has a November 30th VOD release date. I'm sure you can rent it for $20 or something.
Well, Happy Death Day is fantastic. So I actually have higher hopes for this movie now. This is Freaky Friday Serial Killer Edition.
Well, wait, from the makers of Happy Death Day or from the director?
I'm pretty sure it's the director. I looked it up because I've not seen it.
Yeah, it says right there, from the director of Happy Death Day. So she's the serial killer? He's in the body of her and she's a 17-year-old serial killer?
Correct.
So it's Carrie.
Kinda. It's Freaky Friday meets Carrie.
You know, it's funny how the concepts are kind of like they're kind of like food. You know, we're kind of like it's not enough just to have a slice of pizza anymore. If they're kind of reimagining everything. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, the concept with the movie would be this guy drives a souped up Charger and the cops can't catch him. That was the premise. That's the whole movie.
And then what?
What else do you need to know?
How does it end?
He's got a car. He's got a Holley 750 double pumper and some blackjack headers on it. And he's got a good looking lady. And the cops hate him. And they want to catch him.
There you go. Are they going to catch him? Nope. Cue the bulldozer.
You got to watch.
Boom. Right. He's dead.
You're going to have to see the sequel.
Then literally the premises for these movies are like this guy and his girlfriend rob a liquor store. Like, that's all they had. That was enough.
What was the name of that one? Like, they Bob and Carol go to
Saw this movie in the movie theater, Max Zapata, Aloha, Bobby and Rose. And Aloha, I'm totally and convinced that there's nothing to this movie at all. You can find the trailer. But somehow they spent their entire budget on an Elton John song. And Elton John was like the height of his prime. But think about this, Brian and Adam and Gina.
I wonder what the song was.
Let's just say, we
played.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
All right.
Here it is.
All right, but here's my whole point. I think what they said was, look, this movie has a $1.5 million budget. Now, we could spend that all on the movie and end up with a piece of shit that nobody cared about, or we could spend $80,000 on the movie and give $1.420 to Elton John. And then we'll just get the one song that everyone likes, and then we'll just put that in the movie, and that'll be enough in 1974. What year is it from, Max Mana?
75.
All right.
Paul Lamott, the boy from American Graffiti, is Bobby. He's got a 68 Camaro.
That's the Who.
That's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a Camaro, and it's flared.
Takes off.
What? Oh, he's burning out. Ah, there we go.
Dance.
Diana Hull is Rose. She's got an urge to travel.
She's got an urge to travel.
One Saturday night, they became lovers in the city of dreams.
In Hollywood, USA, home of the stars, baby.
Bobby and Rose, two California kids with a fantasy of paradise.
Take me to Hawaii.
Okay. Costco. Aloha, Bobby and Rose.
Oh,
a new
man.
Kind of love story.
When I was 11, I was like, I've got to see this movie.
0 to 60. Hard salad, heavy metal.
All right.
You know what? You know how, like, every decade has its way of speaking, you know, like the like standard Atlantic, when everyone talked like
right,
Martin
right.
The 70s has that same, because she sounded just like the Billy Jack woman, like, right. Damn your pacifism.
I just like the guy doing the VO, like, Bobby, Rose, they met together. They wanted to do stuff. You can watch.
It was as detailed as the movie itself.
Fuck movie. You're not even about anything.
No, you wanted to go see the movie because of the pieces that were in it. Do you remember, Adam, the movie Heroes with Henry Winkler?
Yeah.
Henry Winkler, Harrison Ford, and the old, and it had that, the, when Kansas came out with Wayward Son, that was the music. So we had to go see.
Again, Aloha, and Bobby and Rose spent $11 on the actual filming.
Yeah.
Of that. They get spent it all on the soundtrack, and then why not? Just clear it. By the way, there was nothing else to do in 1975. Like, that was enough. You just go, all right, there's Elton John song. Let's go.
That was Bobby Camaro. He used his own car. They didn't have a budget.
That's right.
Footnote to this. This is also a short-lived era where they would sell. They don't do this anymore. They would sell a movie by talking about the actor's previous movies, like, explicitly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Bobby from American Graffiti.
American Graffiti.
There, if Chris can find it, this is a little bit of a deep pull. There was a theatrical poster for Staying Alive, I think. Or, fuck, what was it? It was some reference to Rocky, you know what I mean? Because I think Stallone directed Staying Alive. He's like, now he's fighting for his life or something like that. It was like a direct reference to, you know, this guy from Rocky.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, look for that. Let me hit Geico real quick now. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure, you do one or the other. It can be hard work owning and or renting. You want to make it easy? How about you bundle? You bundle those policies at geico.com. Makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And again, it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's easy at geico.com. That's geico.com. All right, Gina, let's do one more.
All right. Well, let me see here. Well, we love, Adam, on this show, we love auction news. We have a lot of hot auction talk. We've been doing it a lot lately, but there's one, because it's seasonal, that we have to get to. The Rudolph and Santa Claus figures that were used in the Christmas special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer have sold at auction for a healthy sum. Mm. The bidding for the figure, and if you don't remember, and I'm sure you do, we'll show you the picture. Bidding for the figures soared past the projected sale. They thought it was going to go for between $150,000 and $200,000, and at the Icons and Legends of Hollywood auction held in L.A., I'm just going to tell you, because I've given you a lot of hints, the pair of the little Santa and the little Rudolph sold for $368,000.
I wonder, I'll play the role of my mom. Who would need a Santa Claus for, what would you do with it? I mean, you can't use it. You can't use it.
Not wrong.
Who has so much money?
Yeah,
that
I'll
they,
be my brother now. I just want the friggin' money for Christmas. How about that, Santa?
How big are these figurines?
I'll tell you. The Santa is actually 11 inches tall, and Rudolph is 6 inches. And they were made in Tokyo of wood, wire, cloth, and leather. They're still malleable. Rudolph's nose still lights up. Santa's beard is made from yak hair. Mm-hmm. And the buyer's not identified, probably because he's ashamed.
He's on Megan's list.
That's right.
The seller was Peter Lutrario, 65-year-old in New York, who told the AP that he thought he would never part with these dolls, but he wanted to take care of his kids and his grandkids. So that's a nice little gift for them of
$368,000. Crazy money in an IRA.
Tessa was super into this holiday cartoon.
Oh, really?
Oh my God.
How much did they get for the Charlie in a Box? That one's
Charlie in a Box. Right. That's right.
Yeah,
I've heard of a Charlie in the Box. the fun fact, Rudolph in this scene when he's a baby is the offspring of Donner, one of Santa's reindeer. Donner's wife's name? Mrs. Donner.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't even give her a goddamn name. Couldn't be Dawn.
When I played Pop Warner football, my sister was Corolla's sister.
Yeah. I grew up that way.
You know, white quarterbacks, women knowing their place. It was a simpler time, you know?
You the salad days.
Off for under $300,000.
That's right. All right, let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Chris, that's the poster I was talking about. There it is, Stallone. This time, he's fighting for his life. It was first blood. I got that wrong. But they would market movies based on the actor's previous roles.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. That's right. Simply Safe. Everyone wants to keep their home secure. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees. You get a free home security camera when you purchase a Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Let's see. Adam, you can listen to his very funny stand-up album, It's Scary in Here, available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere you get music as well. And check out the podcast, the Adam Ferreira podcast. I'm going to be at West Palm Beach, Florida at the Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Two shows Saturday. And we'll do a Reasonable Doubt matinee show on Saturday as well. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the tickets you want. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Adam Ferrara and Gina Grad and Bull Bryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And be sure and pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.